Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
So, funny story to me, maybe not to my babysitter. Last night, my wife and I went on a date. And so my babysitter, Bailey, some of you guys know her, she was at our house and she went to go out the front door to go look at the storm that was outside. And as she got to the front door, she saw one of my kids' rubber snakes by the front door. She turned the light on to find that it wasn't their rubber snake. It was actually their pet snake that got out of the cage and was somehow got from upstairs, downstairs, to the front door. But you want to know how manly my babysitter is? She picked that thing up and she put it back in its cage. She's the boss. She is. You need to know, if you need a good babysitter that is not scared of snakes, how many of you ladies, like, if that was you, you'd be like, no, forget it. I would have killed it. Or ran away screaming, and your kids would have to be left alone in your house without a babysitter. That's why you're not babysitting, and Bailey is. No, but I seriously am like, man, Bailey, you're the man, woman. I don't know if my wife would have done that. She doesn't really like the snake. As long as it stays in its cage, she's fine. And my son was like, Dad, that's creepy. What if he was, like, on my bed? I'm like, Judah, he's only, like, 2.5 feet long. He can't do anything to you. But, yeah, that was crazy. That's just really crazy. And we were thinking, how does he get down the stairs? Slither? Like, did he start going all of a sudden, like, like what we dream to do, go down the stairs? Does he take one stair at a time? I don't know. Either way, that's super crazy and funny and awesome all at the same time. But yeah, that happened to me. That happened to my Aunt Bailey. So if you see her next time, give her a high five and say, you're awesome. She's not here this morning. But hey, so I have a couple questions for you guys. How many of you, when you come to that yellow light, you're in your car, you come to that yellow light, and you have that thought, do I stop? Or do I gun it to make the yellow? The struggle is real, right? You go to Cold Stone, and you get the ice cream, and I don't know how many of you are big Cold Stone. I love, like, right now I'm on a peanut butter and chocolate kick. That's what, don't judge. I'm on a peanut butter and chocolate kick, and they ask you that question, what size do you want? Like it, love it, or gotta have it? I'm a gotta have it kind of guy, but I'm learning that like it is just as okay with, but the struggle is real, right? Or you're studying for that test. You've got that big test, that big project due, but a new movie comes out, the new Marvel or the new Fast and Furious 100 or something like that comes out. But you've also got a paper due that next day. Do you go and see it and not worry about your project? Or do you do the responsible thing? The struggle is real, right? Or your boss asks you, hey, how's that project coming? You either tell the truth and you say, I totally spaced that you asked me to do it. Or you say, hey, it's almost done. And then you whip it together real quick. The struggle is real. You see, we all have these struggles and these fights, these inner battles that we have to choose between right or wrong. We have to choose, are we going to do what's right in the situation, or are we going to do what's wrong? Are we going to do what feels good to me, or are we going to do what I should do in the situation? You see, the struggle in each of our lives is real, isn't it? Deciding between what we should and what we shouldn't do. You see, making that choice is every day. It starts with your alarm in the morning. Do I snooze or do I get up? That snooze button is such a wonderful thing. Why iPhone only does like, an 8-minute snooze, 9-minute snooze? Does anybody know? It's not 10 minutes, not 15, it's like 9 minutes. What is that? Who snoozes for 9 minutes? I want to snooze for like 30 minutes or a day. I want a day snooze button. But it's like 9 minutes. But first thing in the morning, for many of us, that's the struggle. And for some of us, the struggle to battle between right and wrong goes all the way to bedtime, and we think, how am I going to go to sleep? Do I need to drink myself to sleep again tonight? You see, the struggle between right and wrong is every single day, all day long. We all fight
It's what we do in the fight that sets us apart from everybody else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. God, I thank you that we are not alone in this fight, but each one of us in this room are battling this fight between right and wrong, between satisfying our pleasures and doing what you've called us to do. God, I ask that you would help us to make that choice. God, I ask that you would help us to remember that we're not alone, and if we need help, we can call upon other friends. God, I thank you that there's other Christians in this world that are going through the same thing. Lord, I thank you there's other Christians in this city struggling with the same struggles that we are. At churches all around us, Lord, I thank you that we're not alone. God, I pray for those churches and the believers all throughout this valley that you would bless and speak to them this morning, whether they're at CCV, Redemption Campus, a Hillsong. Lord, if they're at the Refuge or Grace Journey Church or Desert Breeze, wherever people might be, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to your people and speak to us this morning at City View. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you, we're continuing our series through the book of James called A Dangerous Faith. And this morning, really the title of the message is The Struggle is Real. To go along with our dangerous faith, imagine if we chose to do what is right instead of what feels good to us in the moment. James chapter 4 is possibly, it's one of those passages that I think is the strongest passage in the Bible talking about you have to make a choice. Are you going to live for yourself or are you going to live for God? James, there's no gray area with James. James is black and white in between verses 1 through 10. James is the most black and white of any passage of choosing right or wrong. Choosing you or God. And this is a heavy, heavy place to be. But I can tell you that it's also one of the most rewarding places in the Bible when we choose to do what God has called us to do. James chapter 4, verse 1, James starts out, he says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members?" You know, when you look back at fights and different quarrels that you have, there's some that you might be able to say, you know what, it really wasn't my fault. There might be some, right? But how many of them are our fault? How many quarrels, fights, disagreements that we've gotten into, conflicts, are our fault and the other person's fault? It's an equal fight. It's an equal fault because we both want what we want. We both want our pleasures satisfied. Not in some pleasure kind of way, but in our own needs. We want what we want instead of what they want. Most of our quarrels are because we are choosing us over them. And James says that there's this inner war, there's this battle. And have you ever had that battle? Have you ever seen that battle of having to make a choice in your life? Have you ever seen that and you felt that battle and you know that it's going on and you're thinking in your mind, I have to make a decision. Am I going to choose me or them? Sometimes it's with our kids, it's with our spouse, it's with our friends, it's with our coworkers. It's in so many different situations, but there's this inner battle, and James says it's there. The struggle is real. Pleasures of this world will never satisfy. The other day, actually it was yesterday, I was working in my garage. I'd been working in my garage all day long, and I had 5 neighbor kids over at my house. 2 of them were in my garage looking through all my baseball cards, which I have bought them off at a garage sale. I had a couple thousand. They're like, "Hey, Mr. Jeremiah, can we look through all your cards?" "Sure, I don't really care. I want to get rid of them. Can we have some of them?" "I don't care. You can have some." So they're looking, they're making stacks of them. And so I've got 2 neighbor kids in my garage looking through all my cards. I've got 2 other neighbor kids on the trampoline in my backyard with my son. I've got 1 neighbor kid who's just standing there watching the kids look at the cards. And that's all he's doing, just standing there watching them. Who knows why he's doing that, but that's what he's doing. And so I am in there, and I'm doing all this work. I'm getting everything out of my garage. I've got people driving by going, "Hey, are you having a garage sale?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just cleaning out my stuff. Yes, I have this much stuff at my house. I'm sorry." I can't tell you how many people, "Are you selling your bikes?" "No, why would I be? Is there a sign? Is there a garage? No, it's not." So it's sort of that day. It's hot. It's sticky. I've got these kids, wonderful kids at my house. And then finally I finish. My kids are coming, "Daddy, I'm hungry, Daddy, I'm hungry." So in the middle of trying to finish this, you know when you're done, you've cleaned it, now you got to put it all back. That's sort of when you're done. You just sort of hate everybody and everything. You just want to finish. But your kids are like, "I'm hungry." And you're like, "I don't care. I don't care.
But so I had to feed them. So I fed them. I don't get to eat yet because I want to finish. So finally I finish, and then my wife gets home. And I'm upstairs. I'd showered already, and I'm upstairs. Now I just want to sit and relax and do nothing. And I had just gone downstairs, and I got her something. I come back upstairs. She goes, "Oh, honey, will you go and get me something?" I give her the dirtiest look. Why? Because it's all about Jeremiah, not about her. I want to sit down and do nothing. Now, I just want to let everybody know, if you comment or tag me on anything, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I will not be responding for at least a month. I've deleted those. They're not on my phone at all anymore. First thing God had been speaking to my heart last week and just saying, hey, you need to get rid of, you know how I always talk about getting rid of distractions? You know how I always talk about that? And I did that last week. So I'm like, okay, God's like, Monday, it needs to be gone. First thing Monday morning, I wake up and I click on those little things that are on my phone, and I said, delete, delete, delete. So if you're wondering, why hasn't Jeremiah commented, why hasn't he liked or anything, I tagged him in this, he didn't say anything, I thought it was funny, and he didn't comment, I'm not on social media right now. I won't be on for at least a month. Whether I ever get back on, I don't know. I don't know. It's sort of nice. It's sort of nice not being on because there's so many distractions. So the reason why I wanted to sit on my bed and do nothing wasn't because I was going to cruise social media. It was seriously so that I could just sit and do nothing. But when my pleasures weren't being met, all of a sudden, I am not nice. And James says this is a source of quarrels and conflicts. Now, it's not that some fight happened. How often I didn't fight. But let me tell you, I was ugly. I was not loving. And this is real. And James says this is what happens when we don't get what we want. James chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and I believe 3, really look at your priorities. Are your priorities you or God and others? Because if your priorities are you, then you will easily be persuaded to argue, to fight, to cause conflict. Now James chapter 4, verse 2. James says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious, cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Okay, I want to be real for a moment. Not that I'm not always real, but I want to be real with you guys. Last week, I got a message from a lady who told me about somebody close to her how the husband left his wife for another woman. And I can't tell you how angry I was. I was furious Sunday night. I was livid Sunday night. I could not get over it. I was so mad. And this is one of like 6 this year alone of husbands leaving their wives for another woman, for something else that they have made a priority of. Now, so this morning, husbands, stop your wandering eyes. It's not worth it. Whatever you're looking at, whatever you think might be worth it in the moment, it's not worth it. You are called to be more than that, men. Not just men, but all of us in here, but specifically men, because I am a man. And there are things that distract me. There are things that are keeping me from being close to my family. Social media, wanting to look and see what's going on and all this. It's an easy distraction. And God said, Jeremiah, if you want to know something, if you want to be close to me, you got to get rid of this. Get rid of it. Just for a month. I don't know how long, but God said, give me a month commitment. But I want to really challenge you men. God has given you the strength to live the life that God has called you to do. Why are you living in your weakness? Why are you living in that? Why are you living a way that God did not call you to live? So many husbands are making this choice and making something else more important than their family. I've seen over a half dozen marriages fall apart this year alone. This year alone. Husbands leaving because they had a fling. Because they think something else is better. And if I would have
shared last Sunday, if this would have happened like Saturday night, and then I'd shared Sunday, it would have been God's given me some time to chew, to really think, and to be more gracious. But men, God has called you, men and women, but I'm speaking to the husbands right now. And if you're like, I'm not a husband yet, one day you will be. Hopefully, maybe, I don't know. But God has called you to live a way different life than what this world has called you to live. Last night, my wife and I saw that movie Wonder Woman. And in that movie, there's this actor named Chris something, good-looking guy. And she goes, so are you an average man? And he goes, no, I'd like to think of myself above average. But how many of you are living average lives when God has called you to live above average lives? How many of you are okay with mediocre, okay with subpar in the world, but God has called you to live above and beyond that? You see, too many of us are making choices for the moment instead of decisions for the future. Too many of us are trying to find satisfaction in the now instead of finding joy forever. You see, that we have to really think when a situation comes, we have to stop and think in that moment, how will it affect my future? We have to think, what will my kids think if I make this decision? How will my kids react? We will think, you have to think, what will my wife think? What will my true friends think? Your true friends, not your friends, because you know you have some friends that aren't really good friends. They'll encourage you to do anything you want to do. You have those friends, you're like, man, I had a bad day and I need to eat a gallon of ice cream. And they're like, me too. Erd Haagen-Dazs is on sale for like $5 a pint. Let's go buy 12 of them and let's drown our sorrows in ice cream. That I would not say that's a good friend. That's a friend that might help you in the wrong way, maybe gain a few pounds that you don't really need. But what will your true friends say that will speak the truth into your life? What will your family think? And what does God's word say? Men, women, act like the people God has called you to live like. You want to know why we're not seeing radical change in our world? You want to know why? Because we're not living the lives God has called us to. Imagine if we live the lives that God has called us to. Imagine if we live the lives that God says, I want to give you the power to live. Over the past 2 weeks, I've been reading through 2 Timothy chapter 1. And right now, and just a couple days ago, Tim and I, we text each other sort of what God showed us through this passage. And the other day, I think it's in verse 7, where God says, I have not given you a spirit of timidity, of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power. But how many of us are not living in that spirit of power, but we're living in the spirit of weakness and defeat? This last week, there was a horrible thing that happened in Virginia. Horrible, horrible hate that happened in Virginia. You want to know why hate is allowed? Because love is not thriving. Love is not thriving. Imagine if believers really lived like we are supposed to. Imagine if we shut the mouths of those who are evil, of those who are hate, and we did it with love. Imagine if we did more with our voice than we did with our fingers. Imagine if we live the lives that God has called us to. Now, will it get rid of evil? No, it won't. But what does Jesus say a Christian, a believer, will do? When light comes into darkness, what happens to the dark? What happens to it? It flees. It goes away. So imagine if we lived the mission of City View Church. The mission of City View is connecting those who are far from God into a thriving relationship with Jesus. So imagine if we did that every day. If we made it a purpose to tell our neighbors about Jesus. If we made it a purpose to tell our coworkers about Jesus. If we made it a purpose to tell those students, the people that we have classes together, imagine if we made it a purpose to tell them about Jesus, to invite them to church, instead of being so scared about what they might think of us in the moment, and we might think of them in the future. Imagine if we lived the life that God has called us to. Imagine if we cared more about their future than we did about what they thought of us right now. Imagine what it might do. You see, when Jesus used 12 men, 11 men actually, when he used 11 men who were not the elite, they were not the best guys. They were actually a bunch of losers. They failed a lot. They had a swearing problem. They had a lack of faith problem. But Jesus used these 11 men. Those 11 men changed the world. Has the Holy Spirit changed since then? But you know what? We've stopped believing. We've stopped acting. So imagine if we believed it, we lived it, and we said, you know what? My neighbor needs to connect with Jesus. I want them to live a thriving relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to tell them about him, and I'm going to invite them to church. Now, here's another issue, another problem that we have is we're lazy as believers. We're lazy as people. We spend more money on beer, cable, our own pleasures, sports games, tattoos, than we do on the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking giving money to like some Christian radio, because you're like, man, but I love Christian radio, giving money to some nonprofit. I'm talking about giving money to the church. Not that I need more money in my pocket. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know, the heart of City View, what do we want to be? We want to be a generous church, right? Are we not known to be generous? We gave 300 backpacks to a school last week. If a missionary says, hey, we really need help, we want to do something, what do? We are the first to give. Before we had anybody on staff, before we were even church, did you know that we committed to helping to supporting a missionary $250 a month? Before we even started regular Sunday services, that's how generous we are. But how many of us are more generous with Verizon and Starbucks than we are with giving to the Lord? How many of us, if we were actually look at our Wells Fargo bank statement, we would see that we give more to other things than we do to the church. Like, I don't trust the church. If you want to know where our money goes, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, it costs us like $5,200 a month to rent this theater every week. That's just one thing, $5,200 a month. That's what we spend to rent this theater. It went up because we added a new children's ministry classroom because we're growing. So our expenses went up. Did our tithe go up? It didn't go up. It didn't. That's the reality. Somebody says, if we get a letter from somebody and say, hey, I want to go on a mission trip, I'm going to this place, do we ever say no? We have never said no, because we believe in sending people. When Arms of Love says, hey, we have this outreach, we need some help, do we ever tell them no? We say, how much do you need, and what do you want to do? We want to help. That's our heart. But you see, is your heart the same as ours? Are you about being generous to the Lord, or are you more generous with your pleasures? Because God says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And too many of us, our treasure is here on earth, not in heaven. Too many of us, our treasure is about making sure we have stuff here, then we have a future in heaven there. Too many of us, we've got our priorities mixed up. And so we wonder, why are we struggling in our marriage? Well, where's your treasure? Too many of us, we wonder, why am I struggling with work? Why am I struggling with relationships? Why am I struggling with my life? Where is your treasure? Where's your treasure? Where are you putting, where are you storing things for later? Are you looking to heaven, or are you looking to earth? Because if your priorities are about living here and being satisfied here, you will never have a satisfied life. And that's just the reality. Back to James chapter 4. Sidetrack. Sorry. James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust, you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious, you cannot obtain, so you fight, you quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so you may spend it on your pleasures. How many times have we been wondering, God, why am I not getting what I want? Well, James says there's two reasons why. Number one, you never asked. How many of you have assumed somebody would know what you want, but you never really told them what you want? Have you ever done that? Maybe those of you who are married, maybe you've done that. You just assume your spouse should know your heart. They should know, this is what I want. I've given them plenty of hints. Doesn't work. Hints don't work, okay? We don't always get hints. And somebody, like my wife does not get hints. She'll admit she does not get hints. She goes, if you don't tell me, straight out. She goes, I don't get, like if late, she goes, usually girls are pretty, like, they try to manipulate and they say, I don't get it. If you're not black and white with me, I'm not going to get what you're saying. So be black and white. I can take it. She's like, I'm not a hint kind of person. So I got to tell my wife black and white. Not that I ever really have to do that. But some of us, the reason why God's not answering is because we've never really asked. And another big reason why God's not answering is because we ask with the wrong motives. It's like saying, God, I really want a new truck. But you have a 19, or you have a 2000, if you have a 19 something, maybe you do need a new vehicle. It's weird to think 19 is long old, but I was born in 1978. That seems old now. I'm like, man, 1978, these kids, they were looking at my sports cards and like, wow, these are really old. I'm like, I remember 1995. It's not that old, jerk. I didn't hit them or anything, but I thought about it. But like, God, I really want a new truck. What's wrong with your 2017 Tundra? Well, it's a year old, God. Have you seen the 2018s? You see, that might be the wrong motives. Some of us, we ask, we don't get because we have the wrong motives. And God says, you need to ask with right motives. A satisfied life can only come from God. It can't come from stuff. It can't come from stuff. God desires to give you good gifts. He's a good God. The truth does not come through the pursuit of pleasures, but in asking from God. You see, in the pursuit of these worldly pleasures, they ruin our life. How many of us have seen a life ruined because of the pursuit of worldly pleasures? Whether drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it, have we not seen lives, marriages ruined because of the pursuit of pleasures? I mean, even those of you who are teachers, you see a kid who desires to do what they want. How many of us have seen them make wrong choices because they want what they want? And it's not something that happens when they're in high school. It goes all the way to my four-year-old who makes choices to do what he wants instead of what is right. James says, when you make that choice, it ruins your life. I don't have time to finish my talk, but I have time to talk about the last verse in this section, which is James chapter 4, verse 10. We will finish next week. Don't miss next week. If you want to know how to change your priorities, if you want to know how to flip that switch, if you want to know how to, okay, the struggle is real in life, so how do I battle this struggle? How do I fight this war? If you want to know, come next week, because we're going to hit the rest of this passage. Hit the rest of this. But I want to look at verse 10. It says, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humble yourself in God's presence. That means to come to bow low, to admit you can't. And God desires to lift you up and say, but I can. My son mowed the lawn, my oldest son, he's 10, mowed the lawn this last week. The problem is he can't start the lawnmower every time. So he has to, and I'm in the front yard, and I'm trimming our bougainvillea bushes, which are, man, those things. I have cuts. It hurt. Is there poison in those thorns? I don't know, but they hurt. So my son had to humble himself and say, Dad, I can't start the lawnmower. Was I irritated with him that I had to stop what I was doing and go in the backyard and start the lawnmower? No. When he was done and I looked at the yard and he went inside and said, Mom, the yard's done. Did I say, yeah, but Judah, who had to start the lawnmower? Who had to teach you how to do it? No, what did I say? Judah, you did a great job with the lawn. You see, he had to humble himself saying, Dad, I can't. But what did I do when it was done? I said, great job, son. You see, God says, if you humble yourself in my presence, I promise I will lift you up. The struggle in life is real. The struggle to choose between right and wrong is real. Each one of us struggle with it every day. If you try to do it on your own, you try to figure out on your own, you try to satisfy with your own pleasures, you will fail. That's a promise. I fail all the time. And let me tell you, I hate it. I hate when I fail. I hate when I fall. I hate when I do things that I just so regret because I know I chose Jeremiah over doing what the Lord called me to do. I hate it. But God says, if you humble yourself, I will lift you up. Just like I did with my son. Son, you did a great job with the lawn. Did he need help? He did. See, God is looking for ways to say, good job, well done. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us, God, that you desire to use us. And God, I ask, Lord, for those of us, each one of us, we have struggles and we have those fights that we are battling each and every day. God, I ask that you would help us to fight this fight. God, help us to live the life that you've called us to live. Help us not to be ashamed to ask for help. And God, help us to realize that you desire to use us each and every day. God, I thank you that you desire to use us to change this world. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that are going through some terrible times in Virginia right now. God, I ask that you would stop the hate, that your angels would intervene, and God, that you would stop this madness. God, I pray that your people whom you've called by your name would pray, fall down, and seek your face, and may they live the lives that you've called them to live. May the love that you've given us shine out of us and into this world. God, I pray that the love you've given us would fight the hate that's in this world. May our light shine so the darkness flees. God, help us also to act like the men and women you've called us to. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to cityviewphx.com.